We are ready to go. Hebrew Club, thanks you guys for coming. This last week, right before the break. Yeah. Everybody got, you guys got your shopping done, by the way?
Mostly.
Let's see. Guys, if Christmas was up to guys, we'd just give gifts. All right, money and maybe gift cards if we can extend ourselves that much. You know, my wife is like, she goes crazy a month beforehand. That's a whole different world. She looks at everything different than I do. So anyway, it's good to be here. We are at Amos chapter 3, and we're beginning at verse 6. So we got through verse 5, and we were right in the middle of that section of the chapter where he, in verses 3, 4, and 5, was asking these rhetorical questions, where the obvious answer is no. You know, I'm talking about kind of the power of Yahweh and the kind of judgment that is coming on his people. So let's take it up with verse 6, and I will read it and translate. Im yitaka shofar be'ir va'am lo yecheradu im tihya ra be'ir va'adonai lo asa. All right. Notice the verb, yitaka is a nifal, and the root, everybody can see taka, so it's a nifal imperfect, and it means to, notice the subject is shofar, so to blow, on like on a trumpet. So notice then, if, so we're in a kind of a conditional clause, we got a couple of those coming up as you can see in this verse. So if a shofar is blown, okay, or you would probably say is sounded out or something like that. Be'ir, in a city. Ve'am, and, so very woodenly, and a people, lo yecheradu. So notice it's in the form of a question. As for the people, will they not tremble? Everybody see that it's only by context that you know that it's a question. Given the nature of what has come before it in the verse, but you're not going to know that if you just kind of take that phrase out of any kind of context. All right. Notice that yecheradu is from the root charad, simple call, imperfect, and the atnach has lengthened the vowel under the resh from a shva to a kamat. So it's not yecherdu, it's yecheradu, because you're actually pausing there, so you lengthen the vowel. Okay, so if a shofar is sounded or blown in a city, then will the people not tremble? See, it's the syntax is a little awkward though. Notice because he fronts the subject and puts the lo in between the subject and the verb. Everybody see that? So it's like he wants you to kind of emphasize people in the city. I guess that's where the stress would be. All right. And then the next line, if ra'a is, so tihya, so again, notice a call imperfect. So if there is ra'a, calamity or disaster in a city, va'adonai lo asa, is it not, has not, did not Yahweh do it, I guess. See, I have trouble translating because just notice how the syntax, what's interesting is the repetition in the syntax. Notice how the words march out in kind of, well, in very identical order. See, everybody see that? So you have a lot of synonymy, and you have a lot of direct, exact repetition, be'ir, be'ir, im, im, verb form. So notice on a lexical level, on a syntactic level, and on a even kind of meaning level, notice how on all those levels you have this parallelism, so it kind of makes this whole thing really rhetorically tight, and the one emphasizes the other. So notice how the second line, you have this kind of feeling of inevitability about the second line. So if a shofar is blown in the city, will not people tremble? And now here's the real line. If there is ra'ah in a city, is it not Yahweh? Did not Yahweh do it? Or Yahweh, did he not do it? That's probably how I would do it. Just hang Yahweh out there to give it more emphasis. All right. Any questions about verse 6? All right. All right, verse 7. Ki lo ya'aseh Adonai Yahweh davar ki'im galasodo el avada Avadav ha Nevi'im. For not, so notice Ya'aseh, it's very interesting. I mean, just look at how you have the perfect of Asa at the end of verse 6, and now the imperfect, kind of linking them together. For not will Adonai Yahweh, the Lord God, the Lord Yahweh, Ya'aseh, he will not do davar, a thing. So, for not will Adonai Yahweh do a davar, pause, ki'im. Now notice those are, that usually indicates an exception, except or unless. Gala, he has revealed, call, third masculine, singular, perfect. Unless he has revealed sodo, his counsel, soda's counsel or his secret counsel, to Avadav, his servants, Hanevi'im, the prophets. Notice again how he fronts the role to the prophets. So it's not the prophets, his servants. It's his servants, the prophets. So notice when you do that, that Avadav becomes more prominent. So it's the connection with Yahweh, the role that they play, the position. He's emphasizing the servanthood part of the prophets. All right. So there's a tight connection between them. And it's really important for Amos's mission and the connection between Yahweh, the prophet, the prophetic word, the certainty of the word.
The relationship is more important than function.
Yeah, so notice you see, so, right, so it's same way sometimes you go David the king, but a lot of times the king David, mm-hmm. See. And so it's kind of fun to pay attention to the word order, which one becomes more important or salient. And sometimes when you use a preposition, they'll repeat the preposition between the two so that both terms kind of take on an importance, you know, when you don't really need those to make sense of the line. So it's fun to, it's fun when you're reading to kind of take note of those things, because then it gives you kind of, you can see the emotional tone, or you can see kind of the climactic part, just the little kind of climaxes within a verse or a section. All right. Notice how that last line kind of sums up verses 3 through 7. See, so he's gone through all these rhetorical questions. He goes through this in clauses in verse 6. Now he switches again. The connector is the Ya'aseh with the Asa. Yahweh does not do... So notice how that kind of ties up and explains why he had all these things. So think of the prophetic word like the sound of the trumpet, or think about it like the disaster in the city, or think about it even farther up, like the bird trap that comes up, you know, the inevitability of stuff. So nothing's going to happen until he reveals his counsel to the prophet. So when the prophet speaks, look out. Does that make sense? So rhetorically, it's really a interesting little section in the book. All right? So he switches thoughts a little bit, verse 8. Aryeh sha'ag milo yira. Adonai Yahweh deber milo Yinave. So a lion roars. I think this is a call perfect, but it's kind of the gnomic timeless use. When a lion roars, if you want a smoother English, but I don't think you need to put that in your translation. A lion roars, who is not afraid, or who will not be afraid? Obviously, everyone will be afraid. Adonai Elohim, the Lord God, deber, speaks. Who lo yinave? Who will not prophesy? So again, notice yinave is a nifal imperfect. And it doesn't occur, if it does maybe, just hardly ever. But it's always in the nifal to prophesy. All right, so you have a nifal imperfect there. So notice he's comparing the prophet to the prophet's words to the roar of the lion. And notice the stance you are to take. You know, you're connecting the fearful word of the prophet, because that's what Amos is bringing to the people. All right. Any questions through 8? All right, verse 9. Hashmiu al armenot be'ashdod ve'al armenot be'eretz Mitzrayim ve'imru he'asfu al harei shimron ura'u mehumot rabot betuka va ashukim be kirba. All right. Hashmiu. That is an imperative hifil from what root? Shama. So shama in the call means to hear. So in the hifil it would mean what? Remember, if it would be to make hear, to cause hear. All right. But in English, again, that's a little hard to make hear. So you probably translate proclaim, hashmiu, cause to be heard, if you want to do it that way. On the Armenot, on the strongholds in Ashdod, so, you know, in the Philistine country, Ve'al, Armenot, and on the strongholds, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. So notice how he's kind of going from Jerusalem out. Ve'imru, and now here's another imperative. This time's a call, Ketol, Kitli, Kitlu, so a second plural. And speak and say, there's the pause, heyasfu. See the root asaf there? And it is a nifal imperative. And you know that, well, first of all, the hey, the aleph can't take the dagesh, so it spits it out, and that's why you have that seira under the hey. Okay? And speak, and here's what you speak. So, quotes, heyasfu, be gathered, us. Asaf means to gather, so the nifal is the passive. Be gathered. Be gathered upon or to the mountains of Samaria. Hare is a construct form from Harim, mountains of Samaria. Ura'u, and look, from Ra'ah, another imperative. So notice all of a sudden you got all these imperatives in verse 9. And look, or and see, mehuma. This is mehuma. Notice that this is a feminine plural. Mehuma means confusion or tumult. So the plural may kind of magnify that, or the tumults, you could also translate. And look at the tumults rabot, the great tumults, or the many confusions, or something like that. Betoka, in her midst. All right. Va ashukim, that's from the root ashak. Notice you can see right away that it is a passive form, and it is a call passive participle. Remember, kotel is the active, passive is katul, ketulim, ketulot. So this is the active of ashak would be oshek, to oppress. The passive, oppressed, ashuk. And here's the plural, ashukim. So here's it's in its kind of substantive function. And those who are oppressed in her midst. Okay? And say, be gathered to the mountains of Samaria and look at the massive confusions, the many confusions in her midst, and those who are oppressed in her midst. Notice the her is referring to Samaria. Okay? Questions through now?
May I ask about the content? So Amos is saying that God asks the Egyptians and the Philistines to come and see what happens there in Samaria.
Yeah.
All the evils that's going on.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, I mean, in the first three chapters, remember, he has kind of spun out his judgment on all the surrounding nations and zeroed in on Israel. And now, to me, it's almost like he's picturing Samaria as this spectacle. That the other nations come and look at what's happened to them, look at the disaster that's come to them. So I think it's kind of this rhetorical move. Remember, when part of the punishment of people is that they're made a spectacle of by the nations, and other nations mock them, and you also have this sense of, well, Egypt and Philistines, their traditional enemies, are going to have the run of the place. You know, they'll be able to kind of see it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on 9? All right, verse 10. Velo yadu asot nekocha ne'um Adonai ha otzrim chamas vashod ve'armenotehem. And not yadu, this is from yada, and it's a call. Everybody see that? Just simple call, perfect, third, common, singular. And they do not know. Okay, now asot. Everybody see that? It's an infinitive construct from asa. And it's the object of the verb to know. They do not know how to do. Nekoacha is then the object. They do not know how to do right. Nakoach means, is an adjective meaning straight or right, or a substantive in this case, straight or right. So they do not know how to do straightness. They do not know how to do right. That's how we'd probably say it in kind of idiomatic English. You don't do right by me. They don't know how to do right. Nekoach. Okay. Ne'um Adonai, utterance of the Lord. And now notice we get the subject way at the end. Ha otzrim. Everybody see that that's a participle from atzar, call participle. You have the plain A spelling with a holem there. See the full vowel there? Ha otzrim. And it means to gather up. Those who gather up or heap up chamas, violence, and shod, again, another word for robbery or destruction, in Armenotehim, in their strongholds. So again, he's talking about Samaria. So look at their confusions, and now verse 10. In addition, and they do not know how to do nekoach. They don't know how to do right, says the Lord. Namely, those who heap up or gather up violence and destruction or robbery in their strongholds. Okay? Verse 12, here's Lacan. So remember how Lacan functions in prophecy after kind of giving the indictment or the reasons. What follows Lacan now is, okay, here's what's going to happen. All right. So it's different than Alkane, in that Alkane usually follows kind of a logical conclusion that comes. After Lacan, you're going to get a condemnation that's going to come. So you have Lacan ko amar Adonai Elohim, Zar u Saviv Haaretz, Vehorid Mimek Uzek, Venavozu Armenotaik. Okay, therefore, thus says Adonai Yahweh. Tsar, that's from the root tsarar, to oppress. So tsar would be an adversary. So, thus says the Lord, an adversary, and all around the land. So again, it's interesting syntax. You almost have to supply the being verb. There will be a tsar, an adversary, and he, so English would say, and he will surround the land. But notice how Hebrew has it, kind of, I don't know how else to explain it, it's just very kind of jagged. Therefore, thus says the Lord, an adversary, and all around the land, see? Or, and he will surround the land, or something like that, is how you want to translate. Vehorid. Okay, look at that word. Everybody see that the root is from Yud, Resh, Dalet, Yara, to go down. When you form the Hifil form of a first yud verb, notice that you get that ho prefix, ho. And notice that you don't have the infixed yud, so the hirik is, so it's very chaser spelling. Okay, it's, in other words, it's condensed. All right. So rather than horid, you have horid. And he will bring down from you uzek. That's from the noun oz, which means strength. Okay, uz means to be strong. And he will bring down your strength from you. Okay. Venavozu, here's another tough one. This is from the root bazaz, bazaz, bait zine zine, and it means to spoil. So with the nun in front of it, it means to be spoiled or despoiled, and they will be spoiled. And now the subject, armeno tai, your strongholds will be spoiled. So that's a nifal form from bazaz. Those double I's are pesky. All right. Questions through 11. All right, here we get another ko. So here, again, notice how it's the structure of the chapter. So you have a lakein ko, now here's just another ko. Ko amar Adonai, kasher yatzil, haroeh mipi ha'ari, Shte Keraim o Bedal Ozen. Oh, this is interesting. Cain Yenatzlu B'nei Yisrael. Okay, I'll stop there for a second. Thus says the Lord, just as Haro'ah, the shepherd, delivers. Yatzil is from Natzal. All right. Hifil form. So just as the shepherd, Haro'ah, that's again just a participle, used as a substantive, delivers from the mouth of the Ari, of the lion. Here's the object he delivers. Shte Keraim. Keraim, the noun kera means leg. And everyone see the ending? Ayim is a dual ending, so two legs. So, just as the shepherd delivers from the mouth of the lion, Shte Keraim, two legs, or Bedal Ozen. Bedal is a word that means a piece, or the piece of an ear. Thus, the children of Israel, Yinatzlu, will be delivered. Nifal. Okay? So, the good news is, just shepherd delivers, the shepherd delivers from the mouth of the lion. The bad news is, he only gets a few pieces. It's kind of like that Isaiah 6 passage right at the end where Isaiah asks to go hear my send me. And then God says, you're going to make the people blind and deaf. And then, and yet a tenth, a smoking stump will be left. You know, so just this smallest kind of hope that you're getting. So here you have here, the children of Israel will be delivered. Yeah, like two legs of a lamb and a piece of an ear from the mouth of a lion. Oof. Notice the lion, you're already thinking the word of the Lord, because it's made that connection earlier in the chapter. Okay. Now the end of the verse, notice the editor separated because it seems to be so different here. Hayoshvin Beshomron, those who dwell in Samaria. Hayoshvim, again a participle, again used as a substantive. Those who live in Samaria. Okay, now here's, this is kind of hard. Bifat mita. Okay, mita is a word for a bed. Pa'at, there's a couple of, so some suggest that it means corner, like the corner of a bed. All right. But I like the idea that pa'at is from like yafa, which means beautiful. So you kind of think about it as the splendor of a bed. Okay. So those who dwell in Samaria on or upon a glorious bed or a, you know, splendorous bed. U vid meshek. And now, ares is another word for a couch or a bed. Both these words, pa'at and the meshek, are used, I think, only here. So, again, you see different translations, but I like the translation of fine cloth or silk. I don't know if you've ever heard of the material damask, D-A-M-A-S-K, damask, which, I don't know, it seems like the word comes from this word here. So, damask of a couch, so a silk couch, you might see it translated. In other words, these, again, remember, these are the people who live in luxury. So they, those who dwell in Samaria on a magnificent bed or a splendorous bed and on silk, the silk couch, the silk ares. Okay. All right, let's see here. I'll go just verse 13, we'll stop there. Shimu ve ha'idu bebeit Yaakov ne'um Adonai Elohim Elohe ha'tzevaot. Here, so Shimu, listen, and ha'idu, this is from a hollow root, ud, which means to warn. Okay, it's a hifil imperative. So, two imperatives right in a row. Listen and bear witness or warn. Okay. Be'veit Yaakov, in the house of Jacob, says Adonai Yahweh, the God of hosts. Okay. And what he's supposed to say or bear witness to comes next. And we're going to stop there. All right, any questions? Everybody good?
In verse 12, this, which looks like Damascus, would would that be the same word as
that? Yes,
the
it name would, of the right. City? It looks like the yeah, it's the name of the city, but it wouldn't make much sense in this context, mm-hmm. which is why there are a few. I think I looked this up in the lexicon. There's a few commentaries who want to make and say that and kind of make some emendations to make it make sense. Mm. But really, given the context, it's hard for me to see if that's the right translation. All right. All right. Very good.